Isaiah. For I am about to create new heavens. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating. For I am about to create Jerusalem as a joy and its people as a delight. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and delight in my people. No more shall the sound of weeping be heard in it, or the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant that lives but a few days, or an old person who does not live out a lifetime. For one who dies at 100 years will be considered a youth, and one who falls short of 100 will be considered accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity, for they shall be offspring blessed by the Lord, and their descendants as well. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. And the wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. But the serpent, its food shall be dust. They shall not hurt or destroy. And on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. And from John. Early, on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." And then Peter and the other disciple set out and went towards the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. And then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. And then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also ran. And he saw and believed. For as yet, they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. This is the word of the Lord.
Friends, will you pray with me? Oh God, we give you thanks for your word, which is a lamp to our feet. Open our ears, open our minds, open our hearts, and open our arms to the message that you would have us hear. May you bless the interpretation of this scripture. Amen. On Monday afternoon, I was working quietly in my church office. Bruce, our administrator, and John, our sexton, departed after finishing their morning work. I was actually relieved to have some time study and meditation in preparation for the four services this weekend. So I sat and I had my books in front of me and I took a deep breath and then my phone buzzed. "What now?" I asked. It was my best friend from South Africa, Paul Fenter. He usually texts me lots of irrelevant, irreverent nonsense. So I really just thought about ignoring it. But using my peripheral vision, Lisa,
still good.
I glanced over breaking news. Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris on fire. Live stream. My heart sank. Any of you who have been in my office, you know that I have two monitors on my desk. And I watched the fire rage in real time all afternoon. And all afternoon, I felt like vomiting. In the late afternoon, I read a communication from my daughter in Arizona. She too was distraught. She was grieving. So I asked, as I prepared for Easter morning, I asked this question. What makes a young 17-year-old black South African girl living in North America grieve about a medieval church catching fire? Such a teenage girl might only be concerned about whether Beyoncé's concert tour is coming to Phoenix, or if Macy's has her preferred color of eyeliner in stock, or if she will find the right shoes to wear to the upcoming prom. But none of these were her concerns. This breaking news caused her great distress and anguish. Friends, I ask, what is happening there? What does it mean when a young black South African teenage girl in North America trembles at the sight of a fire halfway across the world? It is true. She had been to Notre Dame before. As a young child, she stood in the iconic cathedral with me, her father, her brother and mother, looking at the Eiffel Tower in the distance. She stared at the gargoyles, perched at a height that rivaled skyscrapers. She had heard the carillon bells as they echoed through the 12th century cathedral. But she had been to many places around the world, including Dubai, to the tallest building in the world. She had walked through palaces in England, and she had even seen the Colosseum in Rome. But Notre Dame was different. What was it that caused a young black South African teenage girl at school in North America to become heartsick and gutted for Notre Dame?
I believe my daughter grieved with millions of other people around the world because they understood that Notre Dame pointed to God. And God is transcendent, that is, beyond ourselves, eternal. This has been the case, really, throughout human history. Whatever points to God is often termed sacred. It can be music, as it is in this cathedral. It can be a place of worship, a mosque, a church, a cathedral, a synagogue. It can be dance or a painting. It can be poetry or literature. During Moses' time, our ancestors in faith understood the Ark of the Covenant to have contained the very presence of God. And it was sacred to the core. During Solomon's time, our ancestors in faith built the temple. At the temple's center was the Holy of Holies, which contained the very glory of God. And it was sacred to the core. The ark was lost too, and the temple was destroyed by the Babylonians. And our ancestors in faith wept bitterly. Notre Dame is just bricks and mortar. That is true. However, like the Ark and like the Temple, Notre Dame points to God. She is sacred to the core. And the damage done to her is deeply lamented. However, we must not place our faith in an ark, nor in a temple, nor in a church, nor in a cathedral, though beautiful they may all be. Never must we place our faith and trust in those things that only point to God. For us, we must be wary, dare I say, not to worship our church steeple, our traditional hymns, our beautiful sanctuary, even our traditional forms of worship. For those things only point to God, though they are sacred. Close to 2,000 years ago, there were dozens, hundreds, perhaps thousands of people who sensed in a man from Galilee something sacred, transcendent, something eternal and thus divine. This man named Jesus pointed them to God so perfectly that they pledged their lives to him. They knew the commandment against idolatry, and therefore they were hesitant to worship something that only pointed to God. Nonetheless, they came to the realization that Jesus was God. Jesus made them feel so connected to God that they understood themselves to actually be in God's very presence. They experienced euphoria, bliss, peace, and unfathomable love. They experienced God's presence through Jesus. Then, their world came crashing down. Jesus was crucified. Everything imploded. That which pointed to God was killed. That which was sacred was mocked. That which was divine turned out to be mortal. That which was eternal was dead. That which was transcendent was now what? Putrid, rotten, decaying. When something that points you to God dies, well, a part of you dies. And we grieve. And that's what my daughter experienced on Monday. Grief. And that's what I experienced. That is what perhaps many of you also experienced. And that is what millions around the world experience. Grief. But the Marys and the disciples believe that this Jesus, more than just pointed to God, they believe that Jesus, the Christ, died. Thus they grieved as if God had died on the cross. That's painful. On Tuesday morning, firefighters in Paris worked their way through the smoldering debris of a cathedral to assess and discover that over which the world would grieve. In similar fashion, our scripture narrates that while it was still dark on the third day, Mary went to the tomb, to the place of death, to assess and to grieve. Mary arrived to discover that the stone no longer blocked the entrance to the tomb. Mary gathered the other disciples, who also ran to the tomb, and they discovered that the tomb did not contain the death and destruction of that which was sacred, eternal, and divine. No, Jesus defied death. He had risen. He had risen indeed. Hallelujah. By the time I left work on Monday, I watched footage of Notre Dame's steeple collapse, her roof cave in, and a fire racing towards the two towers. And as I left, I became resigned to the prospect that the cathedral that pointed to God was destroyed forever. Yet, as I arrived home, I received another message from Paul in South Africa. With this image that I show to you now behind you. Accompanying that image
A caption read, "When they opened the doors of the Notre Dame Cathedral, they met this scene. The sun striking the cross over the high altar, resilient in the face of great destruction and hellish inferno. The cross rises from the ashes. Laudate Domino. Praise the Lord." This image of Notre Dame reminds us to place our faith in only that which is uncorruptible and that which is incapable of dying. That is God, as known in Jesus Christ, whose death and resurrection offers us the same transcendent and perfect attributes. For it is only God, through the prophet Isaiah, who declares, "Behold, I will create new heaven and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in that what I create. For I will create Jerusalem to be a delight and a joy to its people. I will rejoice over Jerusalem and take my delight in my people. The sound of weeping and of crying will be heard no more." Friends, towards the end of this week, millions of euros are being offered to rebuild Notre Dame. A case can, and I think justifiably, has been made that if our trust is in Jesus Christ and not in only those things that point to God, then perhaps we ought to instead invest those millions of dollars and euros in human beings who are ravaged by war, disease, and displacement. For Jesus was, in fact, well, human. And if Christ existed with, in, and through God before the world existed, then perhaps those millions of euros and dollars should be invested in preserving Christ's creation, the environment. It seems clear that Notre Dame will be rebuilt. Yet it is that shaft of light, shining through utter destruction and loss, that provides me and you our Easter lesson. That beam of light, look at it once more. That beam of light through the midst of Notre Dame's destruction and not yet in her rebuilding that truly points us to God and gives us faith. Christ is our Savior and Christ lives. Laudate Domino. Praise the Lord. This was the word of God. And it was preached to the people of God. And the people of God responded. Amen.